please.
Mr. Hardy, you may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Charles Hayden, and I represent the appellate Levin Grimes, who was convicted in the Mississippi Circuit Court in a bench trial of one count of breaking and entering with intent to commit larceny under Virginia Code Section 18.2-91. He was sentenced to 12 years with 7 years suspended. I've assigned as an error in this case that the Court of Appeals erred in affirming the trial court's denial of Grimes' motion to strike the breaking and entering charge, where the evidence was insufficient to prove that Grimes actually broke into the residence at 6207 Roanoke Avenue. By the way, I would be asking to reserve 5 minutes of my time for that. In this matter, the evidence was that he had crawled into the crawl space through a door and a brick opening into the crawl space underneath this house.
Mr. Hayden, as I understand your position or your argument, you don't dispute that the house itself is a dwelling house.
That's correct.
But the dispute or the argument is that the crawl space cannot be considered part of the dwelling house.
That's correct.
Because it's not inhabitable, because it doesn't have direct access to the interior of the rest of the house, or for all those reasons or other reasons?
For those reasons, there's no connection between the crawl space and the interior, the dwelling space area of the house, the residence, the habitation portion of the structure. The Virginia Supreme Court has stated in cases such as the Compton case cited in the brief that burglary was a common law primarily an offense against the security of the habitation, and that is still the general conception of it. So there needs to be some sort of offense against the habitation in order to convict under this section. However, we would submit that the Commonwealth failed to prove that he actually broke into the residence at Roanoke Avenue, 6207 Roanoke Avenue, Newport News. At most, the evidence established that he crawled under the residence, which is not the same thing as entering the residence. There was no interior connection between the crawl space and there was no door entrance to the residence.
You don't dispute that he broke and entered into the crawl space.
That's correct.
Okay, you just dispute whether the crawl space qualifies as a dwelling house.
Yes, as okay. The habitation portion of the structure, or whether the crawl space qualifies as dwelling house.
Well, there was an alternative argument made in the Court of Appeals by the Commonwealth that the Court of Appeals they didn't address it. I guess they concluded they didn't need to, that even if it's not, quote, a dwelling house, that it's still a building attached to land, and that's covered by the statute under which he was charged. It's part of a building attached to land.
That,
I'm paraphrasing.
That is an argument that they made. We did not try to argue that aspect of it at the trial court level. It was just simply the argument was made. The crawl space is not part of the dwelling house and therefore is not.
Well, I think the Commonwealth's attorney made one brief, even perhaps somewhat ambiguous reference to that, but there is at least one line, I think, in the Commonwealth's attorney's argument in the trial court that suggests or could be interpreted as making that argument, although it's very briefly, I acknowledge that. Tell me why that wouldn't be sufficient to sustain the conviction here.
I frankly do not have an answer to that question. The structure that was entered was affixed to real estate or affixed to the land, and so I don't have an answer to that question. The argument that was made to the trial court and then the Court of Appeals was that Mr. Grimes did not go into the house, the residence portion. He went underneath the house, and the crawl space is not connected interiorly to the other portions of the house and is therefore not an integrated part of the whole house. And the Court of Appeals acknowledged in its decision that the crawl space here did not connect with the interior of the house, nor was it employed for ordinary household functions. I would submit that as I noted, the statute requires if we're to consider this is an offense against habitation, and there needs to be either some kind of interior connection to the dwelling house area or some evidence that this area is employed for ordinary household functions. But I would submit there is no ordinary household functions that are conducted in the crawl space area of the structure.
Well, if the crawl space were larger and was inhabited in some way, would your argument still be the same just because you could only enter it from the outside rather than through the interior of the rest of the house?
If it was something that was either if it was occupied as a dwelling house in some way or for habitation habitation occurs in this crawl space area, or there is some showing that this area is used for ordinary household functions, then I would submit that would be sufficient under the statute to consider part of the dwelling house.
What do you mean by ordinary household functions? Most crawl spaces, and I don't know about this particular case, have things that support the house, such as plumbing and electrical equipment and generators and furnaces and things like that. Isn't that something that would be connected with the household functioning?
Well, I would submit that those are certainly objects that are attached to the dwelling house, but they're not ordinary household functions.
Well, when they break, you have to go down underneath there and fix them. You know.
Yes, I suppose that's true, but I would respectfully submit that that the mere existence of plumbing does not make the crawl space area a place where ordinary household functions occur.
So how do you define those ordinary household functions?
Well, I think of things that one does in a household. I think of what individuals do. For example, the bathroom area is for the function of bathing and that sort of thing.
Well, isn't part of the functioning fixing things up?
Of preparing food.
Isn't part of the functioning fixing things when they break? I mean, that certainly is a big part of what I have to do, unfortunately.
I
not particularly well, mind you, but
when I think of functions, I'm thinking of ordinary human activities a resident of a household would do in his house, the things that commonly occur. crawling under the crawl space is not an ordinary household function, I would submit.
Okay. In a house, you would say, I hope that keeping a pantry would be an ordinary household function.
Right, that's a place for...
Well, I don't know about where you live, but where I live, it is very common for a crawl space under the house to be the place where you put up all your jams and jellies and all your pantry items that you work very hard on over the course of the summer and have them for the winter. Is that going to be a deciding fact if you do that, if the dwelling house, and if you don't do that, it's not?
Well, if somehow this crawl space area is either interiorly connected to the house where a person's or is
But that was Chief Justice Kinzer's question. Does it have to be connected? And you said no. That's why I'm asking this question. Your answer was is that it has to be related to a household function.
Right.
Give you a chance to reconsider that answer if you'd like.
But. Well, I guess I didn't understand if I said that no, the crawl space doesn't have to be attached to the interiorly to the dwelling house portion of the area. I didn't intend to convey that impression. I think that there does need to be some connection with the crawl space or some sort of interior access to it for it to be considered a part of the dwelling area, the habitation. Portion of the house or the structure, and it seems to me that's required. I don't believe I didn't intend to suggest a different answer to that. My argument's fairly simple, not to say simplistic. I think it's adequately before the court. If there are no other questions, I'll just rest on the brief for the remainder of the
hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Victoria Johnson, and I'm here on behalf of the Commonwealth. Mr. Grimes' burglary conviction should be affirmed because the plain language of Code Sections 18.290 and 91 do not support his contention that a crawl space should be severed from the rest of the house. Here, there's no dispute that he actually entered the crawl space, as was just stated in prior argument. The only contention is that because the crawl space was not interiorly connected to the rest of the house, it does not constitute a burglary. However, the plain language of the statute does not include that prescription. The plain language of the statute only says that breaking and entering a dwelling house during daytime with the intent to commit a felony constitutes burglary. And that's what happened here. The crawl space is part and parcel of the dwelling house. It is completely enclosed within the brick walls of the structure, as is apparent from the record. It is accessible by a small crawl space door that is built into one of those brick walls. It appears that the ceiling of the crawl space is the floor of the house, and that's very familiar. And as to counsel's argument that this would not affect the security of the habitation, I would argue that having someone crawling about in the crawl space of a dwelling house would affect the security of the habitation. That is an intrusion into one's home. Furthermore, the crawl space in this case did include the plumbing pipe. That is what Mr. Grimes went in to steal. He cut the plumbing pipe, the copper plumbing pipe, up and carried it out. That is part of the house itself. That's part of what makes the house itself habitable, is having a working plumbing system, which again goes to the idea that the crawl space is indeed part of the home. As to any question about whether the crawl space itself is a dwelling house, again, going to Justice Kinzer's earlier question, the defendant was charged in the alternative. He was charged with breaking and entering into a dwelling house and other subsections and breaking and entering a structure affixed to the realty. And as Justice Kinzer pointed out, the Commonwealth did mention that at 82. Even though, and this is in response, I believe, to the motion to strike, even though it's under me, speaking of the crawl space, it is still affixed to the realty. Surely a crawl space, which is dug out into the realty, is affixed to the realty. So even were the court to reach the issue of the dwelling house, I submit that the evidence would still be sufficient under the a structure affixed to the realty language in the statute to sustain the conviction. If the court has other questions, I'm happy to answer them. Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
So now I'm brief and ask you to affirm.
Rebuttal?
I have no additional remarks.
All right, thank you. Call the next case.